Hello, this is Pastor Nate Scharf from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Ulm, Minnesota. You're here with Invisible Church, our podcast of our Bible classes. We will be studying together Paul's letter to the Galatians and focusing on the theme, freedom in Christ. May God richly bless our study of his word together. All right, let's read 2 verse 14 again. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, "You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile, and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs?" Being a Jew meant living according to the Mosaic Law. How was it so easy for Peter to slip back into an outward following of the Mosaic Law, especially when there was the pro-Mosaic Law Living Club that had arrived? Was Peter against the customs? I think he probably appreciated all the pictures and the different things that it reminded him of. You know, he was free to follow those things. He recognized the gospel, he preached the gospel, but he was comfortable and he saw the value in, you know, living the Jewish way, but also he was comfortable, you know, worshiping with the Gentiles and eating new foods. You know, he maybe even liked bacon, you know, where in Jerusalem he probably would have abstained from it, but finally he could get to Antioch where he could eat some good bacon. No, I'm just kidding. But that could have been a part of it. Was it easy for him to slip back into that? Is there something when you, there are very few churches that still do this in our synod, but they're out there. You'll walk into them and immediately you'll realize it as you look in the pews. That's the old hymnal. And you got an old pipe organ and you break out the hymnal with the red like edged paper and you open it up and page 5 and you got the kind of choose your own adventure liturgy a little bit. You know, if this, then go to this page. If this, then go to this page. And you start to do, and that's kind of, there's something kind of comfortable about that, even though you may not have done it for so long. And there's something kind of neat about that. And you appreciate that for what it is. But for Peter, you know, being comfortable or saving face or, you know, there was something deeper than this here. What was the danger in forcing Gentiles to follow their customs? Yeah, you're adding to the gospel, especially in this instance where the gospel was at stake. You know, is a Gentile Christian a Christian? Full Christian. Equal with a Jewish Christian. And the answer Peter was giving by his actions was no. Fearing the circumcision group or aware of the circumcision group, either way it influenced what he started doing then, and in a bad way. So no more beer and brats with Bob. You know, they weren't going to join up for the free beer and $5 brat on a bun every Friday at 6 p.m. in the beer garden. You know, he was gonna be kosher and sorry guys, we can't hang out anymore. The old crew has come back, and I don't want them to think that, you know, I'm second rate like you are. Cephas means rock in Aramaic, but how often in his ministry and in his life don't we see that rock crumble, needing to be on the actual rock, Jesus the Christ? Peter worried. Maybe he's worried. He's encouraging everybody to bail, just like James was kind of accusing Paul, or not accusing Paul, but saying, this is what people are saying. You hate the Mosaic Law. You hate Jews or whatever. But maybe Peter worried about that, but Paul had to stand up against any implication that the Mosaic Law was still in effect on God's people. Galatians 2, verse 11 to 14. Paul cites his public rebuke of Peter for his reprehensible action in Antioch as a final proof that his gospel is by revelation from Jesus. Fear in hard situations can cause leaders to buckle at times. True? Yeah, they're human. You know, we don't trust immortal men who cannot save. You know, our trust is ultimately in God. You know, we've seen, you know, pastors make poor decisions, teachers make poor decisions. Those of you who have served in the ministry, you know, we all have done this, you know, whether it was private or public. But we know the hurt that can come, and we know the results sometimes, you know, that maybe we didn't even intend, but because of some action or something we said, or the way somebody took something, that the exact bad thing that we didn't want to happen happened. Yeah, and there's a lot, we're still human beings. We'd like to think we're above this, but no. Which is why I think many of us enjoy Peter immensely. You know, for those who study apologetics, it's also kind of one of those things that shows that, you know, this is a very real document because it takes the people we're supposed to hold up as leaders and shows all the warts and failings and how they need a savior just as much. You know, we're not looking at some prince here. Peter, you know, you are the Christ. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, you're the Messiah. And then just a little while later, you know, before the rooster crowed, I don't know the man, with cursing and swearing, you know, may God damn me if I know the man. You know, I don't know him. But yet, you know, and then Jesus restores him, reinstates him. But it didn't mean his ministry was going to be perfect, and here's an example about it. And also for all of us, as we seek to serve our Lord, you know, we just get that out of the way right away, that our service is going to be perfect. You know, but God, through his rich grace and mercy, has put us in places to serve in our families, among our friends and coworkers, and also then, you know, the blood of Jesus, his Son, covers over all of our failings, all of our sins, and what a wonderful comfort that is. It frees us to be able to serve. There are sad consequences of leaders' weaknesses, whether that's short, one-time decisions, or that's simply a weakness of a leader. You know, in a congregation or a school, and you see a void there, but what does the Lord often do? He puts somebody else in, or he helps out with someone else in the congregation to help fill that void. And that's also a way the Lord works. But we say, Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy. Practice must conform with doctrine, otherwise doctrine is denied. Practice must conform with doctrine, otherwise doctrine is denied. Is it very effective for the parent who means well, but says, don't do what I... the parent says, do what I... do as I say, not as I do. Is that effective parenting? Does that ever work? You know, that the kid sees his dad doing something, says, hey, don't do this, kid. You know, is the kid going to do that when he gets older? You know, absolutely. Well, if dad can do it, I can do it, you know. It must not be that bad if dad's doing it, you know, or whatever. But practice must conform with doctrine, otherwise doctrine is denied. We could all say we're guilty of this. But especially when it came down to the gospel, this was important enough. Who Peter was eating with, you know, as Ron said, are there things we do? Yeah, I'm sure. You know, it's one of the things, it's kind of one of those unwritten, you know, curriculums for a pastor, teacher, staff, minister, or just a Christian. You know, who we eat with. Most times it doesn't matter at all, but sometimes it matters a lot. And trying to, you know, God teaches us which time those are. Oftentimes through our failures, but by his grace he teaches us, and he's patient with us. All right, Galatians 2 verse 15, let's read this together. We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles, well that's pretty harsh, right? But Gentile sinners, you know, how would you describe the Jews then? You know, Jewish sinners too, but you know, Paul's going to get a little bit silly in the verses ahead, but what he's about to make is a very important point. You know, if Gentiles, in a way, this is harsh, but in a way this is accurate. You know, that's what they were, hamartaloi, or hamartia, you know, the noun, to sin, to miss the mark. You know, you think of the archer and you got the bullseye, and this goes off the mark. You need to hit the mark. They're off the mark. Gentiles, you know, by nature, outside of the Jewish faith, outside of the promises of God, as, you know, that they were rejecting them, they didn't care about them. You know, yeah, they were Gentile sinners. They had missed the mark according to God's covenant laws. Peter and Paul were part of God's chosen people, the Jews, who received the Mosaic law and were bound by it until Jesus came. But what does even a true Jew know about how we are saved? So Galatians 2, verse 16, let's read this together. This is the very important point, the axiomatic statement of chapter 2. Let's read it together. Know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. Because why the works of the law? No one will be justified. By the works of the law, no one will be justified. And when it says that, you know, especially right away, it says, by working or by the works of law, really any law, we're not going to be justified by this law. And what law are we talking about? The moral law, that all-encompassing law. At Mount Sinai, it was given in the form of the Ten Commandments. In that form, we don't, you know, that isn't God's will for us in that form. You know, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, Paul, they show us really the moral law for us to follow, you know, what God's will is, in the sense of, you know, we don't have a specific day, the Sabbath, the Saturday that we have to rest. But, you know, let us not give up meeting together. Don't let anyone judge you as to what festival you celebrate or what day you get together to worship. The ninth commandment, you think of really being tied very closely with the Mosaic rule that, you know, you can't sell off property. You know, or if you come into hard straits, it has to be returned to your family. It has to stay. You know, Naboth, it wasn't just a matter of he didn't want to sell to Ahab. He really couldn't. You know, he was bound by the Mosaic law to keep this land. It was really nice land. It had a nice vineyard on it. God had blessed it. But he couldn't sell it to Ahab because that was supposed to stay in his family until the promised Savior came. But we don't have those laws. But we have the, you know, Jesus definitely gave us the injunction, you know, not to covet, but it's not tied necessarily to the Mosaic law. But that was an application for those people at that time. But that, you know, love the Lord your God, you know, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, love your neighbor as yourself, needing the first, second commandment, third commandment in the way we understand it in the explanation to, you know, Luther's explanation to the third commandment. So this is God's will for us. But even by this working of the law, of that law, no one will be justified. And when we think of justified, what scene do you automatically think of? Courtroom. Going down, have you guys been to the courtroom in New Ulm? You know, can you picture it? You know, you're in the gallery, and the defendant is on the right side. As you're looking at the judge, the prosecutor's on the left side, and there's the judge with his little recorder, and he's got his little gavel, and yeah. What's the verdict? Are you guilty or not guilty? Are you guilty or are you acquitted? And for the Christian, if we're just there with works of the law, we know the verdict would be guilty. But because Jesus, we are with Jesus and not the works of the law, we are justified. We are acquitted. Works of the law, which law? We'd say the moral law, but really all law. This is an axiomatic statement. This is kind of the pivot point. This is what Paul is leading up to, especially in regards to Peter, and that we are not saved by works. When someone works, he gets paid. You know, when you worked your job, you know, after 2 weeks or how often you got paid, you'd show up to your little mailbox. I remember going to my little mailbox or my little sleeve with my name on it. And on Friday, I expected something to be in there. And it said my name, and it showed how many hours I had worked, you know, how much FICA took out, how much all this took out. And then at the end, you had, this is what I can go home with. This is what I'm going to cash on the way home. But it wasn't given with a nice little bow and said, here's a gift for you. No, I had worked for that. Like, that was the agreement. That was the covenant I had made when I started working for that company or that group. But Abraham was not acquitted by what he did. We are not acquitted by what we do. In fact, we're guilty because of what we have done. But Paul is saying, no one justified by the works of the law, but we live by faith as Abraham did. You know, even before this covenant, you know, this two-sided covenant of the Mosaic Law was given, you know, that didn't do away with the one-sided covenant. When God made a covenant with Abraham that he was going to make him the father of many nations and many land, you know, many people would be blessed through him, you know, giving him the promise of the Savior to come through his line. When Abraham was there and it was time for, you know, the animals had been split in half, in an Old Testament covenant in those days, you'd walk through together, saying effectively, if one of us breaks our side of the covenant, what should happen to us? We should be like those animals, split in half, you know, ripped down the middle. But who went through when Abraham, when God made a covenant with Abraham? Just the Lord did, not Abraham. This is what God promised to do for Abraham. And so when we think of our salvation, this is something God promised to do for us, not something that we did a part of or we went through with him. Why do we use, we'll tackle this. Why do we use the Ten Commandments as given at Sinai to teach the moral law? Brad.
Kind of jumps ahead to what Jesus said when he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, your neighbor as yourself, and the Ten Commandments kind of serve as application for that command.
Yeah, excellent. You know, when he had people have said it, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they were kind of almost pagan, right? What's the first thing? We talked about this in the last time I preached, but what's the first thing? I think we talked about it. What's the first thing that they did when Moses was a little long and coming down the mountain of Mount Sinai? They had just been terrified, you know, down to their wits, even asked, we don't want to hear the Lord's voice anymore and see this thunder and lightning and the cloud and the burning furnace fire off the mountain and the smoke coming up. Speak to us, Moses. Be our mediator. And we're going to follow whatever the Lord has said. And then Moses is a little while in coming. We don't know if he's coming back. We will make ourselves a god. Aaron, you know, priest, can you make this for us? And Aaron's explanation when Moses came down, well, I just threw this gold in the fire and out came this calf. Things were in good shape, right, for the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. No, he explains, I mean, and in his mercy, gives a wonderful teaching tool in the Mosaic Law, the civil law, and the moral law at the foot of Mount Sinai. What does it mean to follow me? What does it mean to be my people? How are you to act? And in your acting this way, in your following this law, I will make you separate from other nations. And I will settle you in this promised land. As long as you follow me, you'll get to live in this promised land. But I'm going to deliver my promised Savior through you. Just a wonderful act of mercy. And they could not hold up their end of the bargain. They showed that time and time again. You think of the time of the judges, you think of the exiles. But yet, when Jesus is brought to the temple, there's a temple standing for him to go into. When Jesus is brought to the temple, you know, that woman Anna, I think Anna of the tribe of Penuel, of one of the northern tribes. You've got Simeon there. People were looking forward to God keeping his promise, and he did. But we use the Ten Commandments because they're beautifully laid out. There's obviously aspects that don't apply to our situation, but what Brad said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I think Martin Luther used this in a very wonderful way. You know, by explaining those things according to how we understand them in light of the New Testament that Jesus has come and fulfilled those things. But yeah, some people have said it might be better if we didn't tie ourselves to that because it gives the impression that, you know, why aren't we under the other ones then if we're under that part of the law given at Mount Sinai, you know what? But then we explain it and this is what we go forward with. All right, Galatians 2 verse 16. A person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. Why is it dangerous or wrong to ascribe our effort or our credit to faith? Because people will say this in this passage. Yeah, we're not saved by the Mosaic Law, but by the faith, and you choose. Why is it dangerous?
Well, if you're going to ascribe anything to your effort, then do you have enough effort? I mean,
yeah. If you're going right back, you're going right back to. Yeah, what if you're short of it? What if the decision wasn't that great? What if you've proved that decision was wrong because you fell into sin? And then you think about it, aren't you doing exactly what Paul's preaching against? You're not saved by works of the law. You are saved by grace. You know, you're saved by grace through faith. What is the only way we are saved?
By faith.
Yeah, in?
Christ.
Yeah, by faith in Christ. By Christ, right? By our Savior Jesus and his death on the cross for us. 2,000 years ago, we were saved. And this is given to us by faith. Even though they are both Jews, Peter and Paul both recognize that no one is acquitted by their own actions of keeping the moral law, but we are acquitted rather through Christ's actions. There are only two religions in the world, do or done. And on the cross, Jesus said, after his suffering was complete, it is done. It is complete. It has been accomplished. It is finished. And therefore, our salvation is accomplished. Our salvation is ours because of Jesus and only through him. And so it is done. Let's close with the apostolic blessing. We'll say it together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.